Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 7 of the Three Quarter Time Podcast. We
Hey.
have just finished a gather around trip. All three of us made the journey down the Western Highway.
The pride of South Australia.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Great vibe. They've really
Janus and Tate up
the
have
town
never
for
been.
It.
No.
Oh,
not
that?
Since I was
Yep.
three.
Janus and Tate up have never been to Adelaide.
Well, not really.
Yeah, not in my cognitive
yeah,
memory.
Yeah, not consciously.
Not to watch footy. That's true. That's very true.
Boy, did we watch a lot of football.
Oh, we had 5 games in 4 days. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Some of the games are a bit dodgy. But anyway, Cookie, speaking of not dodgy, you've got a bit of history for us for the game on this day.
Yes, I do. So we're going to Saturday, the 14th of April. 2007.
Oh.
Now.
Oh.
This is one of the great games where the Blues were down by 48 points late in the second quarter.
Oh. Oh, I've lost the ability to see.
Back. It was this day where Fev kicked 8 in arguably one of the greatest performances in Carlton history, including 4 majors in the third. This is an all-time classic if you're a Blues fan. And it literally doesn't get any better.
Who did they play?
The Bombers.
Essendon, they won 18-17, 125 to 17-20, 122. That is a game.
It's a great game. To anyone that hasn't watched it or the highlights on YouTube, do yourself a favor. Just watch the Lush kick a bag at the G. Beauty. Oh, I miss Fev. Jeez, I miss Fev. That was a phenomenal game.
I know. So it's the best game that's ever been on this day of recording.
That's
so
the best game on this day we've had this year on that segment. That is phenomenal from you.
Exactly.
It's beautiful.
It's a great game. Now, I'm assuming most of our audience has social media. And if you have social media, there's one thing you can't avoid at the moment. And it is the one and only...
Chicken jockey.
So, even though that's
we
a
literally saw a kid playing Minecraft at the game yesterday.
Yes, that was beautiful.
We did. Actually,
he
quickly,
priorities.
My girlfriend's cousin actually messaged me before about an hour ago, and he said the kid that we were filming was actually his little cousin. So there you go.
No,
Josh's
no
little
way.
Cousin.
That's magnificent.
On the other side of the family from
that
Broken
is,
Hill.
That is phenomenal. That is exceptional.
So there you go.
The real question is, what's the young man playing Minecraft at the Adelaide Oval for?
Well, it was a pretty poor game, so I can understand why.
Anyway, so there you go. But back on the chicken jockey theme, we're going to explore the best chicken wing tackle, one of them in our generation.
Yep.
I'm taking us back to round 16, North versus Carlton. Great Chris Judd decided he would get involved in a chicken wing tackle with Lee Adams. I'm sure you've seen it, but do you know how many weeks he got? I'm asking the crowd.
4.
Got 3 weeks.
Oh.
What do you think would happen if he did it today? Did that today?
That's a great question. Janus?
I don't know. I need to get this up. I need to have a look.
Chris Judd chicken wing tackle.
I think
Chris Judd chicken wing
tackle. Definitely get in more trouble now. Oh. That was a massive case at the time. Because we were in free... Carlton were in free fall at the end of that year, I'm pretty sure. And then he was probably going to win the Brownlow as well, pretty sure. Pretty sure he was like hot Brownlow. He was hot Brownlow favorite.
Oh, gee whiz.
The joke is...
Yeah, I reckon you're probably going to month at least. You get 4.
Oh, yeah. He like ripped his shoulder out.
Yeah. Oh. It's so funny that like he pulls the arm
nowadays.
Out...
Get that nowadays, you get a month.
Yeah, you get 4 to 5.
4 weeks.
The thing is, he pulls the arm out, and then the North Melbourne players like push him over, and Dennis and Bruce are just like, "What? what's going on? That's a free kick to Judd. And it was.
He gets a free kick.
He gets a free kick for that.
He gets a free kick.
And then he also gets a 3 weeks. Juddy, what are you doing? Oh, go back to your financial accounting business. Seriously. Oh, can't be doing that, Juddy. That's poor form. That's poor form. That would kill.
Anyway.
That would kill.
Chicken jockey.
Chicken jockey.
Chicken jockey.
Today was a bit of a chicken jockey. The old Port Hawks game. That was a bit of a rowdy fest.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Cookie, you're obviously the proud Hawthorn ambassador of the podcast. You wear your colours on your sleeve. You were there in a jersey and a scarf last night as we sat amongst the ferals that are Port Adelaide supporters in the cheer squad. Now, great man, give us your thoughts. What's your synopsis of that event last night?
Your words, arrogant and complacent.
Oh, bang.
Oh.
Heavy words just here on the three-quarter time podcast,
just
people.
Just complete arrogance.
And why was it arrogant?
It was arrogant because everyone thought, well, I guarantee you, Guinea had about four celebrations lined up in his back pocket and he probably touched it four times.
Bang.
It was...
going
it
hard
was
here, people.
First half, it was rubbish.
Oh, yeah, he's used the R word.
You got to give Paul their flowers, though. They were phenomenal. But they were literally the only ones that came to play. We thought it would just happen because if anyone's watched Port previously this season, they have been below par. And the Hawks were made to look absolutely like a bottom four team in that first half. It was good that we didn't give in. I was happy with that. But we'll see in the Geelong game next week if that actually means anything.
Just before
we'll be able to tell if that's a glass half full or a glass half empty second half.
Just before we move on to the Cats.
Do you think it was a case of Port having maybe having something approved with Ken? Saw something after the game where Rosie said that they owe a lot to him. Or it might have been Butters, they owe a lot to him. Do you think that probably had somewhat of a factor of them coming to play hard, especially because it got touted as this blockbuster clash, probably definitely with Hawthorn in the favourites category?
It seems like Port become the best team that's ever existed when they play Hawthorn in the first quarter. By the way, our first quarters are a massive problem at the moment. But anyway, definitely, definitely.
Now, before we move on to the Cats, I just have a quote. Yeah. I have a quote. We're on the hill on Saturday night.
Oh, God.
And the great Cookie looks at us and goes, imagine driving all this way to watch your team kick 2.5 goals. Great man, what was it like? What was it like when the Hawks were 1-2-8 to 12-7-79? Or whatever it was.
I couldn't believe it, honestly.
Nor could I.
I looked at my phone and I had about 100 messages from all the colleagues and friends that it just was not good. Look, it was arrogant from me as well. I'm a fan. I'm a Hawthorn fan. I'm a dickhead.
You were walking across the bridge. You said the W word.
No, I'm never crossing that bridge to a poor game in it while Ken Inkley is coaching.
And just so everyone knows what Cookie was wearing, he was wearing the jumper, but he wasn't wearing anything underneath.
He was very confident.
He went full singlet. He was very confident.
It wasn't a matter of whether the Hawks would win. It was a matter by how much. That's what the discussion was going over the bridge. And geez, the great man got humbled.
Never again. Anyway, one of the Cats.
I'll tell you who else got humbled. Yes. The Crows. But look, to be honest, one of the best performances I've ever seen. That Geelong's ability, Janus, I'll let you off your chain in a minute, but I've just got to get my ramble in here just while I've got the airwaves. Geelong's will in that game was unbelievable. Like, they were 5 goals down, but you could still see the Cats just grinding and grinding and grinding, and they were not losing that game. They just, that was phenomenal. Some games, it's a privilege to be. Like when I was at the Frontales in Japan, it was a privilege to be at that game. On Thursday, that was a privilege because of how well the Cats played. They just would not give up, and it was beautiful. Janus, you're a diehard Cats fan. What was that like for you?
Well, first half was very stressful, especially because it was the basically we got to Adelaide, we had an hour to chill, and then we instantly went to the game. It was a very stressful first half, but you could see on the players, they came to play. They recognised the occasion. They wanted to prove themselves. And it's just a bloody good win. A bloody good win. A gritty win on the road in front of hostile crowds. But you could see that I don't think anyone on the team got flustered with the occasion.
Great call.
Everyone locked in. It's very hard, or it's not often you get to say that a football team has no weak links. In a game. In that game, no one looked out of place.
Well,
it came down when we were down by we were down by 5 goals with 5 minutes or so to go in the second quarter. The will to involve the team, get team first connection, link up, find each other, get certain goals. Like Bose's goal, Cameron runs in on the wing, screws the kick, Stengel stops into traffic, gets it off, fires it off to Bose, and Bose just kicks a goal. Like, all of our goals were team goals.
Good call.
It was really good to see.
Good call. That's a phenomenal. Anyway,
great win. Go the Cats. And it made my gather round absolutely sensational.
Yes.
I wore my jumper everywhere.
Yes.
Yes. I even got my football signed by the boys.
Yes. You got now. Boys. He got his footy signed by the boys, because now to those listening or watching, where whatever your intake of this magnificent podcast is, you may or may not have known that there was a lot of activities around the ground. And because Geelong played on the Thursday, they had all their activities on the Friday. Now, Janus, being the early riser that he is, went down to Adelaide and had a look around at the festivities. So I guess because Cookie and I are lazy, didn't want to really meet Bailey Smith, what was that like?
I mean, it was just cool seeing, because obviously I've never been to Adelaide before, and I wanted to sort of explore how the government, how the South Australian government, big. So I went down to the footy festival off the Torrens and saw the show they were putting on. I saw the Cats had a panel meet and greet signing show. I went, I'll pop in, see what it's like. It was just, they put on a really good show. There was so many other people were awake. It was absolutely humming. It was humming with people just excited for the weekend ahead. And then I also checked out Rundle Street Mall?
No Mall with the big balls.
I checked out the big balls. I checked out the big footy. And it was just nice seeing, for me personally, it was nice seeing a new place. But two, it was also just really nice seeing everyone wear their colours, with no shame. I mean, with AFL in particular, you can't really wear your colours out and about. You know what I mean? It's not like basketball or European football, where you can sort of wear your colours out and about. You look a bit stupid if you wear the AFL merch. It was really nice seeing everyone embrace the weekend and embrace just wearing their colours, no shame, win or lose. I saw a lot of Adelaide fans wearing their stuff the day after. I mean, I wore my Geelong stuff the day after, so it was good.
That should normalize.
What happened at the park, Janus?
Well, the big news to come out of Geelong versus Adelaide, apart from Geelong having a great win, was also Bailey Smith firing the double birds at some fan. Just before I go on, what do you guys think of this?
I love it personally. It's funny. And look, if Baz has got the money, go ahead, mate. Do what you want. And but the thing is, I'm not. Geelong is so. They get out of the media. So anything that gets them in the media, I'm excited about, because it means
the attention's off Hawthorn.
Exactly.
Attention's off the Hawks.
I've got something. Exactly. I think the more attention on the Cats, it doesn't help them. That's why I like it. But ultimately, it's good. It's just good.
Yeah.
It's, first of all, if someone's given Danger some lip, why wouldn't you stick up for him? He's a bloody legend.
Yeah, and I think it was more than just lip. I don't think it was particularly...
It was vitriolic, I think.
I don't think it was particularly, you're not a good footballer. I think it was a bit stronger than that.
It was personal. Yeah. So I like... if fans think they're entitled to dish out crap like that to players, I don't care how much the players get paid. You know, sure, they're professional athletes. They get paid a lot. It doesn't matter. They're still humans, and they are entitled to stick up for themselves or stick up for their teammates, and that's exactly what Bailey Smith did. And that's exactly what I told the Channel 7 news crew.
Bang.
When they came to interview me. Exactly what I told them.
I love this. We're on the news already, boys.
All right. So while Janus was at the news, we had... Tim and I went on an adventure.
We did.
Hit up. What did we do, and what was your favorite part about it?
So basically, we're ignorant Victorians, and we think the AFL is the be-all and end-all, but that is not the case. In Adelaide, there is a league called the Sandful, which we all knew existed, but we didn't realize... I don't think any of us really knew how much it meant and how much it actually, the people of Adelaide, or Adelaide as they call it, actually meant. So
how historical it was as well.
We thought, yeah, how historical it was. So we went, Liam and I initially went on a journey. We went to West Adelaide, went out to look at the Bloods. Then we progressively made our way to the Woodville, West Torrens, Eagles Oval. Then the West Lakes where Adelaide train. Then Alberton Oval, where Port Adelaide train, and then North Adelaide, Norwood, and Sturt. We didn't go to South Adelaide or Central Districts because I wasn't prepared to drive 45 minutes north and 45 minutes south. But back to your point, I'd say the best thing about it, it's so cool to see suburban grounds that good and in that good nick.
Yeah.
Like in local grounds here in Victoria, none of them are that elite because there's not that many. There's too many of them. Like there's a footy ground every four streets. Not quite, but every how many in a suburb would there be? One or two?
Every corner of two main roads is basically a footy oval.
Yeah. Like roughly. There's so many footy ovals here, but there's not as many. So to see what did we go to? Like six. Obviously, Westlakes and Alberton are a bit different because they're like venues that teams play on. As in like
train on, yeah.
As in like AFL venues that are used. But it was so good to see all the smaller leagues and the smaller ovals really well maintained. And the grass. Ooh.
Oh yes.
The grass was just phenomenal. No dog poo. It was beautiful. I'd say the best oval was probably North Adelaide, but the best grandstands were probably Sturt. Sturt's facilities were probably the best. I don't know if you disagree with that or not agree with that, Cookie. Or Janus, because Janus was there for a couple of them, but not all of them.
Yeah, I agree. I liked how they all had most of them had the stairs kind of all around the ground. It was kind of like an arena.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It
wasn't
was.
Just like you're holding a little wooden metal beam or something. You're just watching. It was like kind of like an arena. They all felt an arena.
It was an oval. It was great. Mm. Really, really was.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, kicking the footy on Albert was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah,
that was in such good nick, that ground.
Yeah, but of the of the Minnow Grounds, like not Alberton. I'd say probably North Adelaide and then Sturt. Yeah. They were both really, really, really good. They all had bowls clubs attached
North Adelaide to them. Yeah, I liked how North Adelaide was quite historical. Like the grandstand was nice and
yeah. Except it had a homeless guy living in it.
Yeah, well,
I was going up to the coach's box to have a little bit of a look, because just from some of my experiences in footy, I like to look in coaches' boxes. And I was walking up the stairs, and then the guy just sticks his head up out of a sleeping bag. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna leave you alone. You're clearly having a nap. But we indulged ourselves in the footy. We also indulged ourselves in some of South Australia's other offerings. So there's a little village about an hour out of Adelaide that we went to. And Janus, what was this village?
It was Harndorf. It was the German. Yes. It was the German village of Adelaide or South Australia. It was nice. I really liked it.
It was phenomenal.
Nice autumnal
breeze coming in. Bird.
Yes, it was very colourful. Buildings were nice and old. We had a sensational lunch at, what was it, the German Arms?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
That was beautiful.
We all got three big German sausages, mash, gravy, and sauerkraut. He felt German. It was good. It was just a nice place to spend an afternoon.
Oh no, it was definitely a good fun.
It was very good. The sausages were so good. The Kranksky, the cheesy Kranksky was beautiful. It was absolutely
now
phenomenal.
After the Carlton game, Tim had he got a recommendation from some people he knew about a certain 24/7 restaurant.
Yes.
What was that, Tito?
It was a pancake parlor. Basically the pancake parlor.
Yes.
I don't know how common that is around the world. Might only be unique here. I don't know. But it's like a pancake restaurant. And it's 24 hours. But we had a couple of hours to kill because we went to the two games at the Adelaide Oval on the Saturday. So in between Carlton West Coast and Melbourne Essendon, we thought, hey, let's go and get some lovely carbohydrates. And to the guys that recommended it to me, thank you so very much. They were phenomenal pancakes. They really, really were. It's called like the original pancake house or something. It was really, yeah, really, really good. I had a 4-stack of pancakes with ice cream and blueberries. It was beautiful. It was really, I think Cookie had the Jamaican bananas and the caramel fudge.
Yeah.
And Janus had lemon and sugar and ice cream.
Lemon and sugar.
It's a classic. Classic. Classy.
It was beautiful.
Really was. Really, really, really was. Now, Cookie, now, what else did we do on Saturday?
We hit the beach, which was beautiful.
It was.
Something about Adelaide Beach is really nice. There was a crab that was scaring me, but anyway.
At least it wasn't the great white that was further south.
That's the only thing that scares me about Adelaide Beach is there's crabs everywhere.
Literally, we're walking down the stairs and I said to Cookie, I'm like, have there ever been any sharks at this beach? Because the Adelaide beaches are very like calm, but very
they're
deep.
Clear as well.
And they're clear. And I was like, if I was a shark, I would swim in here. And then sure enough, I find out today that not that far from where we were swimming, there was a great white spotted about 5 meters off the shoreline.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's funny. You guys are big targets too, so.
Yeah, but I'm a floss pick for a shark.
You would have been
I would have been used to floss Cookie out. But anyway, ultimately, we went to Adelaide mainly for a holiday, but also the footy. Like, it was gather round. It's footy. So we better get on with the footy chat. Melbourne. Cookie.
Yeah, they looked.
Well, Janus, you're about to use an expletive, I believe.
Yeah, Janus.
They, listen, the only word I can use to describe them, they were incredibly dour.
Oh, that's
incredibly dour.
You're on fire today. You're on absolute fire. He's used autumnal and dour in the same podcast. Oh!
Yes. Listen, it wasn't a great game, but I mean, you think in a team that's got Petrarca, Oliver, Viney, and Gawn, you'd think they could still move the ball with a bit of pizzazz, or at least with a bit of efficiency, but they can't use it. And they just got completely cut up by Essendon.
Yeah. But another thing that was fantastic about that game, we're on the hill.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We're on the hill.
But that was the first time first and only time we went on the hill.
Yeah.
My God, it was an experience. Hill beforehand? I hadn't.
I'd walked on it, but not watched a game on it.
It was phenomenal.
Great.
It was an amazing experience. Some
unusual characters. We had Happy Birthday sung about 20 times to our left.
Yep.
We had DJs. We had songs being sung repeatedly, which is funny. Exactly.
That was phenomenal.
We had people kicking goals with footballs. You've probably seen on TikTok or something. From the hill and going ballistic as they split the stick. So wild on to that bloke.
Good kick.
Yeah, it was great. It was fun. It was definitely an experience, and I can see why the Adelaide public did not want it removed. It's fair enough. It's cool.
It's very unique. It's good.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Can't get it at the G, can't get it up to this, can't get it at the SCG. Cool.
Yeah.
Sydney were pretty poor on Friday night.
They were.
It started pretty hot. Once Amati went down, their forward line completely broke down.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Pies were way too good.
Yeah, and then just defensively as well, especially in that second quarter. McCartan especially, he just kept going for marks.
Yeah.
The ball, they just kept the ball in play. The Sydney defenders did not want to kill the ball.
Yeah.
Just kept Collingwood in the game. It just brought forward pressure. They sort of undid themselves.
Yeah. Probably went into it with a game plan, trying to keep the ball off the ground. But the risk with that is if you don't mark it, it's only going to the ground. So it's a lose-lose situation. And when it was that dry and, or not dry, it was that dewy and warm, it's impossible to mark it. Yeah, the looks like the grand final curse is continuing. Teams that get belted in the grand final don't do well the next year. And Sydney have not been convincing.
No.
Nope.
Collingwood. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, just on that Collingwood, they just looked far and away a comfortable, better. So they looked a better team.
Yeah. Moved Houstonless, so well. Too.
Yeah.
They looked very good.
Sorry, Cookie. I interrupted.
All good. The Suns, they are on fire. The two Queensland teams on top of the ladder, Brisbane as well, had a great win.
Good for the game.
This is getting really interesting. This is getting exciting.
They put them to the sword.
This definitely feels different.
Yep.
Suns teams in the previous have not done this to teams before.
Yep.
And they are putting they're like 30% higher than any other team right now.
And the thing is, that game that was game on at three-quarter time, wasn't it? 75. It was like 75.
Game on North front with like 5 minutes to go in the third quarter or something.
Yeah, and then the Suns just went bang. How much did they win by again? Like 5 goals.
More.
No.
Like nine.
So they just went.
They did a Melbourne. They literally did a Melbourne in 2021.
True. Yeah. Good call.
But
the Lions. That was a great game of footy.
That really was. Watching that in the pub. That was really good. On the Saturday night.
That was
good.
Reverse Gold Coast coming from a massive deficit.
Yeah, 39?
Yeah, something like that.
Jeez.
Hipwood kick 5. Logan Morris played really well as well.
Yeah, he did. Talk about confidence. Remember Cookie said it earlier in the year, that guys like Lohman and Morris are going to just have so much confidence after winning the premiership the way they did. And that is proving to be spot on. Like, just look at the way he plays. He's just so, like,
just
confident in what he's doing.
They've got the moves like Jagger, you know.
But is it maintained?
Where's the dog?
Can they maintain this level of game style, Brisbane? Look, probably not. But then look out if they start going and like playing well and leading.
Well, yeah.
Look out.
Yeah.
If I was the Dogs, I'd be pretty happy with how the game went. I think they can be too disappointed, even though they were 40 points up.
Yeah.
They should have won, but ultimately it was a good performance. I wouldn't be too disappointed.
I mean, and with about 5 minutes to go, there was it like 10 points in it?
The
Brisbane kicked away and the Dogs caught it back. And Kennedy was especially quite instrumental in that. Seems like he's finding his groove at the Dogs. He seems to have slotted in quite well, especially without Fontempelli and Treloar. He's really taking the bull with both horns and cementing himself in that side.
Yes.
It's also just a great sight seeing a very hard-nosed midfielder wearing a headband at the bandage. Great to say, I love it.
Really having a crack.
Really putting his head over the pill. Now, I've got a fun stat for us. Just coming off the Giants St Kilda game.
Yep.
Does anyone want to tell me how many games Scott Pendlebury has played at different venues? So Scott Pendlebury, he's played at 11 different venues in his 400 and...
Something. 410.
Say 407 games. He's played at 11 different venues. Now, Harvey Thomas, he played his 23rd game yesterday. He has played officially at more different grounds than Scott Pendlebury. He's played at 12.
That's crazy.
Scott Pendlebury has never been to Geelong.
And the joke is one of those is Subi as well. One of those is Subiaco. Which is like the equivalent of Optus for those that are too young to remember that West Coast and Fremantle used to play at Subiaco Oval or Domain Stadium or Patterson Stadium, which is no longer there. It's just an oval now. They ripped down the stands. Vale Optus Oval. Optus Oval, that's Carlton.
Vale.
The Patterson Stadium. But that is an amazing stat, Janus. That is... phenomenal.
The
Vic Bias.
Someone would complain about traveling.
They don't want to travel. They don't
round.
Want to travel.
Crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Come to Tassie, come to Darwin, come to Geelong.
Go to the Cats, man. Yeah.
Yes.
Come to anywhere. It's not even every year. Maybe once
every
year.
Out of
Melbourne.
It's nice to explore.
Anywhere, anytime, anyone.
Yes, Tom Green at the end of that St Kilda final.
Yes.
Now, unsung heroes, lads.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, if you don't know what the unsung, just for those, if you don't know what the unsung hero is, we each, from all the games of last round, we each take an unsung hero. Now, a player who might not get all the recognition of the social medias, of the general punters.
Yeah,
we celebrate the role players.
Yeah,
so we each pick a player from all nine games. Oh, no, we pick one player from the nine games, and we rank them in a 3-2-1 rating system, a bit like the Brownlow. Anyway, Cookie, how about you kick us off?
I'm going for a bloke which I know got a lot of praise on Friday night, but. He's an unsung hero because he's the sub for about 3 weeks in a row.
Yep.
He's the definition of an unsung hero.
Great call.
That is ex-Hawthorn legend, Ed Long.
Beautiful. Great call.
Good call.
Good call. That was very
I'm joking.
Good.
We could, anyway. He had a phenomenal game.
It was very good.
And he had 29 touches, 13 kicks, 6 tackles, 9 clearances, 515 metres gained.
That's a nine. That is a nine.
For a sub, he wasn't the sub, but he won't be the sub for a while, and he shouldn't be the sub because he's like big body that Collingwood need. Got a little boys running around like Sidebottom and Dacos. If he gets going, look out because he looks good and he's young as well. He's like 22 or something, 21, 22.
Prime.
Yeah,
It's, yeah.
he's coming along nicely. They'd be very happy with his development. Jane,
A
it's over
story
to
of perseverance.
you.
Good call, Cookie. Like it. Take up.
Oh, beautiful. I have gone for a bloke that didn't do a lot after quarter time or half time. That's harsh. After half time on Sunday night. But my word, when the game was on the line, this small forward from Port Adelaide, Joseph Richards, Joey Richards, he was phenomenal. Kicked a phenomenal, like kicked two classy goals. I think he only had 16 touches for the game. But the way I look at that is like, when the game is there to be won in a big game and you step up early, that's what counts. And he was in Port's five, like top five, behind the obvious in the Hornet, Butters and Rosie. To be honest, and amazing. Sweet, but it was probably their fifth best player at halftime. Like, he was phenomenal. Mm. He was so good.
His first goal as well was
unbelievable. What did I say to you? I'm like, if he kicks this, they're in for a big night. And he absolutely dobbed it from the pocket. It was a perfect. It did not look like missing from where we were sitting. It was phenomenal. It was a great kick. Now, Janus, round us off.
Now, I promise to everyone on the airwaves, I do watch more games than just Geelong.
Yes.
But I have to go with Tom Atkins.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
He was unbelievable on Thursday night, especially, I mean, talk about the definition of an unsung hero. He is Geelong's role player. You know, he gets Holmes, Smith, Dangerfield, Cameron, they all get the praise. But when it comes to putting his head over the pill, wrestling the ball out of the middle, putting his head over it, tackling ferociously, it's Tom Atkins. He just puts his body on the line time and time again. I mean, I've got the stats here. He had 23 disposals. He had 15 contested possessions. He had 5 tackles. He's now currently, I think he's leading the league in tackles. And he had 9 clearances. And his work in the contest is to put his head over it, get the ball out, and set up team plays, team passages, team scoring. It's unbelievable. I mean, he set up Dempsey's mark on Mark King. He just wrestled out of the ball, chucks it on the check side boot. Dempsey takes a massive mark. But that sort of stuff doesn't go unnoticed, especially when Max Holmes and Bailey Smith lifted in the fourth quarter. Don't forget Tom Atkins.
Yep.
It was unbelievable.
I agree.
Well done. Well said. Now, the hard part.
Three good candidates.
Like, three really good candidates.
Really. I was thinking about this before we did. I was thinking, geez, there is a lot to pick from.
This is tough.
I had a list of about 10 that I could have said, and they all would have been worthy.
I would probably go Richards 1 vote, Atkins 2, Long 3. But I'm up for discussion.
I'll switch Atkins and Long. I'd go Atkins
3, Long.
My only thinking is, especially when the game was like, because Geelong Adelaide was a shootout and the game was on the line for, like, you know, probably 3 quarters. And especially when we were down 30 points, I'm like, Tom Atkins, he really lifted the side.
Yeah, that's true.
And helped us, you know, get those, we kicked 4 goals and.
That's true.
I mean, it's to bring it back.
Atkins 3.
Yep.
Long 2.
Yeah.
Richards 1. But it's a very, very good one.
That's a stiff.
It was great.
I fought for you, Joey Richards. Just so you know, that's a stiff one. I thought you were phenomenal.
I could imagine.
Oh, yes.
He's great.
No. That, like, genuinely, you could spin all of them to have the 3 votes.
Oh, yeah.
We could talk about it in a whole episode for those 3. Like, that's the hardest we've had.
The 3 we've picked are not. Like, there were so many players that could have gotten the 3.
Yes. Sam Walsh. honourable mention. Phenomenal game from yourself.
George Stewart.
Yep. And that Georgie, love your game, mate. Well played. Admittingly, it wasn't open training, but still.
Now, side bottom. The best six we'll ever see.
Yes.
Actually, what was more of a stat pad? Gunston 6 or Hewitt's 39? What was the biggest
Hewitt's
stat 39. Pad? Now, wash your mouth out.
Why is Hewitt trying that hard against West Coast?
Why is Gunston trying that hard when you're 71 points down?
Save your tickets for North. Anyway, all right.
Time for the predictions.
All right, I'll kick us off.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
I am predicting firmly. Looking at the camera when I say this.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, he's picked it up.
Port Adelaide are going to lose by over 10 goals against Sydney this week.
Oh, yes. That is bold. I love that.
Get some revenge.
That's a salty Hawthorn supporter right there.
They are rubbish.
Yeah.
Who is going to be Port's worst player, Liam?
Joe Richards. He will never play like that again.
Wash your mouth out. Joey, we love you. We want you on the pod. We love you, Joey Richards.
Love you, Joey.
You played so well, youngster. You're beautiful, even though you're probably older than me.
I'll get belted.
He's 23.
He's older. He's older than us. All right, Janus, your prediction.
All right. I'm going to the Adelaide Giants game.
Oh, here we go.
I reckon they're going to call this game the coming of Cadman. I reckon Cadman will kick 5.
Bang.
I like it.
The Giants to win by 3 goals.
Oh, yes. That's beautiful. Now, I'm going North. I'm going to the Brisbane game. I'm not the club. I'm going to the state. I'm going to Brisbane Collingwood on the Thursday night. Easter Thursday.
Game.
Collingwood are going to do it again. They're going to do it again. Ooh. They're going to be down a three-quarter time, and we're going to see it again. And they're going to – what did Hutto call them? The amazing Magpies. I reckon they're going to overrun them and win by like 2 points in a thriller on Thursday night. That's a great matchup. That's first versus fourth.
Ooh, like
the undefeated Lions. Compare this game now to last year. They were both 0-2. And the loser would go 0-3. Like that is that is pressure. But this year it's like 4-1 against 5-0. Like that's what we like. But yes, just on big calls. It's the NBA playoffs. Now, if you haven't noticed, I'm wearing my magic hat. It's beautiful. And Cookie is wearing a lovely bit of paraphernalia. It's beautiful.
Get hyped. Look, we've waited a while. The NBA season's a great time.
It is.
Especially, you can just watch so many games in Australia. They're all in the day. It's great.
It's phenomenal.
Work from home, people. Stay for day home.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. Cookie's just made his plans. Anyway.
Yep. Anyway.
That's beautiful.
We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. Hopefully, we get some new finalists, like the Thunder making an appearance, or like
the Magic.
I don't know. The Knicks going on a run, or something new.
Oh yes,
yeah, true. The Magic from 7th.
See what happens.
P5, I believe in you. I'll be chanting "We want Boston" on Wednesday. I'll be chanting it.
Thanks.
I won't be there because I live like thousands of kilometers away, but I'll be there in spirit. But anyway. Thank you all very much for listening. It's been a wonderful episode.
Yes.
We had a lot of fun at Gather Round. We drove for 18 hours collectively across many days. It was, except today, we had 10 hours in the car today. It was long. But yes, thank you all so very much for listening. It's a pleasure to bring our content to you, whether it be short form, long form. And yes, if you ever see us at the footy, just say hi. You never know. You might make it onto a short. Or TikTok, who knows? But anyway, stay fresh. Have a happy Easter. Enjoy the Easter break.
Happy
stay
Easter
safe
Bunny
if you're going away. Enjoy the break with families, friends. If you're playing any basketball, tennis tournaments, whatever, enjoy yourself. Otherwise, thank you all so very much, and we'll see you next week. And hope your team gets up.